well, and they like what they're seeing, and I mean, we like the attitude. Then, if you start putting numbers up again, we'll start talking about next year's contract right away, and the guaranteed money in that contract. So,
right, and you've seen it where they've done deals at camp, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Players. Yes.
And all of a sudden they walk out and they say, hey, guess what? This guy just got a new deal this afternoon. And
yes.
We all go, hey,
yeah.
All right, we get to talk with him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's what he shows in Mankato. They get to see him on the field. They get to prove, he gets to prove that he's still 100% physically and can still do the things he did when he was last on the field. And they go, all right, we've seen enough. We're going to give you the deal.
Yeah, I think there is something still left. I'm with you on that. I think Dogra and Rick Spielberg and Rob Brzezinski, who we almost got in a fight with, I think that, honestly, I think they're going to talk, and I think that it's going to have to just be, show us that you care, show us that you can get along with the front office, the coaching staff, your players, teammates, and say you're sorry, which you did yesterday, for the most part, to everybody. I think that's the beginning of this story. And guaranteed money. I think that there will be some guaranteed money. Eventually.
Before the regular season?
Nope. Maybe not before the regular season. But
during the regular season, probably. You think if everything's good and he's being on his best behavior and he's happy and he's not being a cancer and he's giving all he has and he's doing okay.
Which I think he's easily that kind of guy.
Why does everybody think he's going to be running like what Chuck Foreman said, former Minnesota Viking Chuck Foreman said on this very radio station, a, quote, crazed animal?
Because that's what he is.
That's what he is all day. All day.
It burns with him. We talked about the Wild being driven by that haunting feeling of getting swept and watching the Hawks win the cup. But he sat there all season and watched everyone else play football. That's his life.
Yeah, right.
And then he listened to people say he's done, he's worthless, he's this, he's that. That just for him is putting fuel in his gas tank. We saw when everybody doubted him with the knee. I don't know if this is that same kind of momentum, same kind of drive. But perhaps it is for him, and this is what he does.
Yes.
The more you doubt him, the better he plays.
Yeah, you just build a fire under him, and he's going to run crazy. Like Chuck Foreman said, he's going to try and catch Emmett, and he's got some work to do to catch him. I'm not so sure he can't do it if he can just stay healthy. But, Jim, thank you for your time. We got to go and get Mike now, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bye, James.
See you, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you better believe it. Thank you for joining us.
You're just fantastic.
Your new segment was very good, so we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
I have my breathing problems. I'll try to get that cleared up.
We got that out of the way. Little asthma attack.
It was my Lamaze class.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're just pregnant again.
Take some deep breaths. Take some deep breaths.
You know what's really got me frustrated now that you bring that up? Not frustrated, but kind of looking forward to this summer now that Vikings training camp and football is less than 100 days away, but training camp coming up here rather soon. They just announced. Have you guys talked about Caitlin since I've been away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I got to go now.
Okay. Bye, yeah, Jim. Exactly.
See you guys. Bye.
There goes Jim Rich. We have one of my breaks.
I love Caitlin.
I don't know if I do.
You just about said you did. You think she's hot, don't you?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I don't.
You don't find her attractive at all?
No, C-Hag.
Stop it. For being a 65-plus-year-old woman or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty attractive for her age. I mean, if I didn't know she was a man.
She's not.
She's not a man?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure she is a man, still.
We can debate that when we come back. Mike's break. We'll talk about Caitlin if you want to. Caller 15 at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to see the Twins play the dirty, disgusting, boner-hungry Milwaukee Brewers this Sunday at Target Field. Caller 15 gets tickets at 651-989-9105. Come on back, everybody.
Pharrell and a bench. Tune in every weeknight at 9 in the Twin Cities. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105, The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead, but Murray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
It's time for racing at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono Raceway, with the Exalta We Paint Winners 400. Tune in NASCAR Sprint Cup Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Play a little ball is what you got to do. You got to let's play ball. Now, I don't know if Bruce wants to play any ball anymore. He's not Bruce anymore. He's Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
So
Caitlyn Jenner, and it was interesting because...
Never go by Bruce again.
All the Kardashians are K. He's not a Kardashian, though, but Kylie and Kendall, his two daughters that he had with the Kardashian lady.
Yep.
The Sea Hag lady. What was her name again? I don't know.
Chris or something?
Chris, yeah. I think it's Chris.
I think it is. What a Sea Hag.
But so he decided to go with a K name, but Caitlyn. And it was released on Vanity Fair, their July issue, which I think comes out a month early. I'm not really sure how magazines work. That's probably why they're going out of business. But Caitlyn has a docuseries, I think that's what they call, on E! Coming up in the end of June or early July. I'm not really sure what it is, and I just can't stop watching it.
It is fascinating.
I've never wanted to be well, back in the day, here's the weird part, when I was younger, really young, I wanted to be the exact opposite of what I was. So I wanted to be a black woman. Because I'm not black, and I'm not a woman.
Right.
But, I mean, that's one of those things that wears off when you're a kid.
Yeah.
So all of these kids that's, you know, say they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and they want to be a transgender, and then families are actually doing that, it's hard for me to understand. And it's hard for me to put myself in the shoes of now Caitlyn Jenner, because to me it just seems so foreign and so different and so weird, but so interesting at the same time.
And the pain must have been excruciating. I mean, just to be entrapped within yourself, within a male, you know, body, the whole thing, and wanting to come out of that the whole time. I mean, he conquered manhood. I mean, Bruce Jenner was the man. He was the man. Decathlon this and gold medalist that. And, you know, I heard Michelle Tafoya talking about it on the morning show on KQRS this morning about how he was the Grand Marshal of the Rose Bowl parade. I mean, he was everyone's guy. And he wanted nothing more than to not be not just that guy, but a guy. He wanted out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you suppose Caitlyn just goes out and rules womanhood now?
I'm sure she will. Is it weird for me to think that Caitlyn is attractive? Because you were saying, she's disgusting. But seriously, look at this.
Beauty
look at these pictures.
Beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Look at these pictures. I mean, she looks like, for being how old, 60-something years old, she's 10 years older than you are.
Yeah.
Look at these pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Annie Leibovitz, who is supposed to be the best photographer there ever was, but for the greatest athlete in American history, or the greatest athlete of all time, or the gold medal decathlon in the Olympic Games, she's pretty attractive for a guy.
You know, Caitlyn is just, that's a great picture. Those are great pictures. Good photographer. A little, what do they call that, airbrushing?
65 years
old,
though.
I think they've been doctored a little bit.
Of course they've been doctored a little bit.
But hey, look, I'm just happy for her. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just happy that whatever entrapment, to still be the age that Bruce was, now Caitlyn, 60, how old? 68? 69?
Is that what it is?
I thought so. Regardless, if you still want to live the rest
65.
Of your... 65. Okay, my bad. 65. You still want out of that. You want to live the rest of your life the way you felt you should have always lived. And that's exactly what he's done. Now she's done. So it's fascinating. The pain that must have been involved in that, where you still say, I know it's a little late in the game, 65, but I'm changing it. I'm going to change it. You know, you're past the whole, you know, a term in life where you're having your kids and doing all this other stuff and getting married and everything else. He's not at that place. She's not at that place at all. It's 65. And I still want to be a woman. And here's Caitlyn.
It's just so odd.
I think it's incredible. It's just an incredible story. And as he said when it was Bruce, I've got the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Kardashians thought they had the story. I had the biggest story the whole time.
651-989-9105. I know that we talk about sports all the time, and there's so we're talking about a transgender issue, but Bruce Jenner was one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Oh, my God. He was unreal.
Is it wrong for me?
Graceland College, 40 miles from Centerville,
Seriously?
Iowa. 40 miles from me. He went to college.
Is it wrong for me to think that she's attractive?
You can think whatever you want. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
I know that, but I mean, not if I didn't know that she was a he, I would say, because I used to say Barbara Walters. Now, there's an old lady that I would like to, you know what I'm saying, talking about. Barbara Wawa. If I had a chance to get with Barbara Walters,
Yeah.
As a notch on the belt or whatever, just to be like, hey, I made some sweet, sweet love to this 85, 90-year-old lady who's decently attractive for being a great, 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 great grandma. If I didn't know Caitlyn Jenner was a man.
You missed a couple of greats.
If I didn't know Caitlyn was a man, I would say she is probably the most attractive 65-year-old woman I've ever seen.
I mean, you're entitled to that.
Does that make me transgendered?
No, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Of course it does. No, it does. It makes you transgender. Yes. I don't think it does.
I'm just so fascinated.
You can think someone's attractive. It doesn't matter. Man, woman, someone who's changed the entire picture from man to a woman. I mean, if it's attractive to your eyes, then it is. Well, you can't deny it. I, however, don't think that is the most attractive woman I've ever seen.
Well, I never said she was the most attractive woman
And or 65-year-old woman, which you did say.
Who is the most attractive 65-year-old woman you've ever seen?
Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
What?
Ah.
What? You better try it again, bud. You better try that again.
Look at Sophia Loren. Now she is 80, by the way.
Yeah, and still not just too bad.
No, that's gross. She has yellow teeth, and she looks like she's dead.
What about Raquel Welch?
Who?
Raquel Welch. W-E-L-C-H. I think she's held on pretty well.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She's 74. She's not bad at all.
Okay.
So I apologize about the finest 65-year-old.
What'd you find there? Let me see Raquel.
No, I'm too busy over here. I need some private time.
That was the real deal back in the 60s and 70s. I mean, yeah, yikes. Swing it over here.
I miss her.
Yeah.
I miss her a lot.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know. You can check the pictures now. I don't know if that's not exactly a current picture. That would be more of the pin-up from years back, but she was a real deal.
I enjoy your breasts.
Yeah. I just think that you're right. It's a fascinating story. And it's incredible how much has happened since the Diane Sawyer interview. I think it's incredible how much has transpired since then.
She had feminine facialization surgery. So her face has been softer. I think she has to live as a woman for a year before she can get the thingy, the jingle jangle, the doohickey,
the thang,
the low hanger,
the thang,
the dilly,
the slapper.
Yeah.
Well, I've been told that's been done.
I don't think so.
I've been told that's been done.
I thought so, but I don't think so anymore.
Yeah. Rumor has it that that's been taken care of as well, but since the Diane Sawyer interview, it would appear as if, though, the upper half of the body, that has been changed a great deal, I would say.
Here is June 1st, 2005.
There's been some enhancement.
Caitlyn Jenner, the former Bruce Jenner, has not had penis removal plastic surgery yet. Says genital surgery isn't her top priority right now.
Okay. That's what she said after. Well, that's what he said when he was a he. Said that was not going to happen.
Still
he just could not see it happen. Happening. But he said he'd leave it open.
What do you mean leave it open?
He said
You're going to leave his wiener open?
Well, no, I don't think he's going to do that. But I mean, leaving the topic or the thought that perhaps that could still happen. He then said that would be put off on the back burner, which would hurt. I don't know. So I think it's amazing, though. It really is an amazing story because I knew him. We all looked up to him. He was idolized by every guy.
So when I had to watch The Kardashians with my ex-girlfriend who loved the show, and a lot of, 20s to 30-year-old women love E! And they love The Kardashians and they love all this crap that goes on. And so if you're dating them, guys, you know, if you want it, you have to, there's some give and take. If you want to watch the Vikings and Twins and Timberwolves and Wild, you have to watch some of their shows sometimes.
Go straight to the dumpster and watch that garbage.
And so I always felt like it related to Bruce Jenner, who was always in the background kind of rolling his eyes. And I thought, that's me in this whole situation.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm watching because it's
everybody
part
else
of the relationship deal, but, and he's watching, but he's in the background going, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. And now he doesn't want to be a guy anymore. He's a lady.
How about being with the Kardashians in it's their deal, the glamour, the feminine side of everything that Kim has going on, and him wanting to be that, wanting for that to come out, and having to sit and watch it.
Oh, he was stealing their clothes.
I know it. I heard the interview. I mean, he said, yeah, Kim caught him, came home and caught him wearing one of her dresses.
That'd be weird.
He said, what had happened was, he just said he admitted to finally just, I want to put this on and walk around.
But he was doing it in the middle of the night. I know, I went to college with some friends over here at the University of Minnesota that went to college with another friend of theirs. And I became friends with this person. That person's dad transitioned and still lived at home with the family and the mom.
That's incredible. Well, Jerry Springer going there.
Why does it have to be Jerry Springer?
Well, because there every combination showed up on that show that there could possibly be, every scenario, every possibility within the family circle, whatever change there was, Jerry had him on.
So I know I came over to your house. I invited myself over to your house to watch the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight, and you grilled up some food.
I did.
During the premiere of this, Cynthia Jenner, what's her name again? Cynthia?
Caitlyn
Jenner.
Yeah.
Docu-series. Come over, I'll make you some, I don't know, we'll have some food.
We need to get some
nachos.
We need to get some chicken wings over at your place.
I can do it, and I can slow cook them.
Okay, but let's do it that way.
And you'll watch Caitlin with me.
All right, that's fine. I'll do it. When's that supposed to be on again?
I don't know. End of June.
Probably the end of June.
Or early July, I don't remember.
Something's going to happen to the thingy. You watch.
I don't want to watch the thingy.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying the news is going to come out though that's been done soon. It's going to happen. You'll lose the thingy. We got to go. You take a break. What are we going to do next? Oh gosh. Oh, it's that. God dang. Mike Berardino, Hardball. Look out! Here he comes.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon. 105 The Ticket. Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berardino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Jerry Ryan came back from his visit and was pleased with Buxton and said that everything is progressing properly. He just needs the bat to catch up. Well, the bat seems to be lagging here lately. I would have to think that he's a little bit lost, and that's what AA is for.
Hardball with Mike Berardino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The only win the Red Sox got on their road trip was the Rodriguez start in Texas. A drive to left, deep down the line. Gone, a home run for Brian Dozier. Dozier with a home run to tie the game, his 10th of the year.
Brian Dozier just knocking the living tar, just knocking the cover off the ball. All you seam heads, all you hardball people, Mike Berardino would tell you that. And there he is. He knocked the cover off the ball.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah?
Missed you.
What?
I've missed you.
Oh, you're back.
It's your lucky day.
Can you imagine? How good is this going to be to have a reunion between you two?
Really missed Bill.
Wow.
Mark Berardino. Well, you've been doing in Boston. You have a busy day today because, of course, at the doubleheader, there was a rainout the other day. And two games today. So you've got a lot going on. So I'd expect you to be extra crusty today.
Wall-to-wall baseball. Ben, what do you want to know?
Well, a little frustrated with Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes got knocked around a bit today. I think we've talked about this before. I know the superstar and I have. I think the Twins were a little early to re-sign him to all that cash. I mean, he still had, 2 years left in that original contract that he had signed, but they gave him a ton of extra money on the offseason, and he's had a rough go so far already this year.
Well, you can certainly play the result and look at it that way, or you can look at the broader picture of what starting pitching costs in the modern game and where those costs are headed. I like the idea that Phil Hughes is under contract in the prime of his career for 4.5 more seasons, basically, from the moment we're talking. I like that at a at a maximum of $14 million a season. That's affordable, believe it or not. And it's not like he's going to fall off the face of the earth. He's a smart guy. He's going to have to figure some things out. I asked him point blank if there's anything physically holding him back at this point. He admitted only the little aches and pains, but says it's not a physical issue. It's a location issue. It's just, he's got to be precise. He was so precise last year, and he's a little bit off this year and a little more hittable. Even walked a guy today. He's walked seven people now this year. So I don't think that he's going to be a disaster or a bust or anything like that. I don't think that happens that quickly. I think the Twins saw a comfort level, a two-way comfort level after that first year, and they chose to pounce, knowing that if he did that again, the cost would just skyrocket.
So it's going to come around. I mean, would you say so? You said he's an intelligent guy. Yeah. He'll figure this out. And the pitching coach has been nothing short of amazing. I guess that's what they've said anyway. At least with the bullpen, yeah. But with the starters, I've been told that he's a great coach.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up because, Mike Pelfrey, we saw last night, another really good start for him. Even though he lost, he did everything you could ask. He's in the top 7 in ERA in the American League, and Kyle Gibson's right behind him. Those two have been helped immensely, it would appear, by Neil Allen. And some of the relievers have done better with Neil Allen. But, Rick Anderson was good for Phil Hughes. People like to pretend that Rick Anderson didn't help anybody, didn't get through to anybody, but he was the one who fixed Phil Hughes. And when Phil signed his extension back in December, even though Rick had been gone for 6 weeks by that point, first guy you mentioned was Rick Anderson. So even though this guy's out of the game right now, Phil will always swear by him. And so there's an adjustment period to Neil. And they have not meshed, you might say. It might be the easy thing to say. One of the things that Neil tried to do with Phil in the spring was get him to throw the changeup. And he'd never really done that. And he messed around the changeup so much in the spring. Perhaps some other pitches are lagging. It's just a thought. And I do think that he messed his hip up on April 29th, and it was bad enough that he had to come out of that game against the Tigers, and he's not going to use that as an excuse, but I'm telling you, he's a precision guy, and he's not being precise.
Talking to Mike Berardino about Twins baseball, Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink Vitamins. Have never tasted this refreshing. A lot of movement today, kind of back and forth. Tommy Malone being recalled to make a start tomorrow. And Paul Molitor said in the best case scenario is that'll be his one start and then he'll go back down. He's been pitching lights out in AAA. It's kind of nice to have a plethora of arms.
Good word. I wouldn't be so sure after what we were told this morning that Tommy's just here for one start, even if he doesn't do well at Fenway, where he has a career 13.5 ERA in just two starts, but terrible.
It's god-awful is what it is. It's god-awful.
It's god-awful.
It stinks like poop.
Yeah, it does.
He would be the first to tell you, but he's not thinking about that. But the probably the most important thing that'll happen tomorrow is Ricky Nolasco trying to throw a bullpen. And, in a matter of 24 hours, we talked yesterday, the Twins were hopeful that he could avoid the DL, and the trainers were hopeful. And then today, Molitor downgraded him to 50-50 to avoid the DL. So, and if you look at the quotes that I put on TwinCities.com and from Molitor, it's almost like Ricky, the burden of proof is on Ricky to throw a bullpen session that's not just pain-free, but is precise, and the stuff is similar to what needs to be in a game where they're thinking of starting him Saturday. If they're going to have to make that decision pretty much before the game, the corresponding move with Malone, whether they send which reliever out or position guy or whatever, more likely reliever at this point. But I'm not so sure. Ricky doesn't end up on the DL now, and Malone stays in the rotation for a bit.
It'd be so frustrating. Arcia also made some movement. He was, I believe, on a rehab stint, and they brought him back from the DL and then immediately sent him back down. Just paperwork, well, I'm sure.
Did.
But
well, not really. They did the exact thing with Arcia last year when he had a wrist problem, and he was down there on what he thought was a rehab. It's one of those things, he's probably not even unpacking he's in, you know, he's with the Rochester team. He's not even bothering to get to know people's names. He's like, I'm just passing through. And then they're like, no, you're staying. And they did this to him last year, and he got ticked off, and he had a couple of good weeks at the plate, and then he was back, and he was back for good. I think there's a little of that kick him in the rear going on here, because he's 0 for 11, four strikeouts, couple of sack flies, but and they've had a lot of rain where they've been in Rochester, but and on the road. But yeah, they'd like him to come back, but this is more than procedural. This is an admission that he's not in the short term part of their plans up here.
Yeah.
And we kind of, as we've talked, you know, they're happy with Rosario. They like Shane Robinson as the fourth guy, and Hicks is doing enough to stay. So the next position player who should come back here should be Vargas. It's just when.
Yeah, no kidding. Mike Berardino, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. One quick question, and I need a quick answer from you. Is this normal? Am I too inside? Am I too close to the Minnesota Twins? Or does this kind of calling up and sending back down to the minors normal for other baseball clubs as well? Or do the Twins really have kind of a problem? Because it feels like it's happening all the time.
You mean with Arcia?
With Arcia or Hicks? Or I mean, it constantly seems like they're bringing up and sending down the same guys over and over again.
I'd advise you to check out the transactions on a daily basis, or just do a little searchable thing. Right? You'll see they're not out of the realm with that. It's just, you know these guys, and yeah, you pay such intimate attention to every detail with the Twins, so you can keep up with me on these segments, that it feels like, you know, it happens a lot. But I think it happens everywhere. For instance, Alejandro Deaza will be a Boston Red Sox for tomorrow's game. They acquired him from the Orioles. And he's got 9 career homers against the Twins. That's 3 more than he has against any other team. So watch him come and be the difference maker on Thursday. It's baseball. There's going to be moves coming and going constantly.
I find it to be the case, yes. I look in the transaction section of the paper all the time, and I notice that.
And so
what have you been doing in Boston anyway over the last day or so? Have you enjoyed yourself finally, or are you just still being this stick-in-the-mud guy out at the Hampton, just enjoying a lobster roll and a...
Fairfield, yeah. Yeah.
The Fairfield Inn, they have...
Fairfield, Hampton.
Very nice.
I thought you were saying in the Hamptons.
Beds.
That's what I meant. You're in the Hamptons.
Oh, the Hamptons. Yeah, I think that's New York, though, isn't it?
Might be.
Yeah.
Sure. Are you making everybody's day as miserable as you make ours every day out there? You spreading your holiday cheer?
I spread joy, man. the sun has come out here, and it only took me about an hour and 15 minutes today on the drive and the little trolley and all that stuff. So great, it's gone great. I get 2 games. Let's play 2. Ernie Banks,
Chicago Cubs.
No longer here, but yep. I'd like to think that's my slogan, and I'm just going to appropriate it, and I'd like you to put that on T-shirts with my face.
We can do it.
Let's play two.
And
he's going to procreate it? Is that what he said?
I think he said that. Yeah, and he also said the word trolley. You were on a trolley or a rickshaw? Which one?
Yeah, they call them trolleys here. I don't see the reason for that. It looks to me like just a crappy subway car, but they call them trolleys on the signs that I see where it says, you know, mind the gap and stuff like that, you know, don't get too close to the rail. And I'm trying to do it because I know I have to do this segment on every weekday, and yes, they're going to need me again tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Yeah. Absolutely. And
we'd be lost without you.
I want you to know that we care deeply about you and your health and your wellness and everything else. And but the weather's been horrible, and it's been because you're out there. You're the dark cloud. That's why the sun's not out. Now that you're at the Fairfield, the sun probably is shining over Fenway.
Sun is out. The sun is out today. That's good. And I don't know what you guys want from me. I can't be any more upbeat than this. Twins have lost 2 in a row, but this is me being ebullient. And it's great to be alive.
Oh my God! Oh Lord!
Uh-huh.
So we can tell how hard it is for you, though. I mean, you're trying so hard to be good, and it pains you, doesn't it?
You don't know that.
I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing.
You just feel that way.
I just feel like it. I feel like that might be the case.
The disdain that you give us every single day is just, I look forward to it because it has become comical.
I love the effort, though.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Wall-to-wall baseball coverage. We call it hardball with the I was almost going to say the superstar Mike Morris, but we'll call him the superstar Mark Berardino from the Pioneer Press. TwinCities.com. You can follow him on Twitter at, what is it, at Mike Berardino.
Yes.
Nature's Fury, NutriDrink.
Tweeting.
Yeah, vitamins Thank never you. Tasted this refreshing. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Enjoy the Fairfield Inn and all that good stuff. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, guys. I will do that. Bye-bye.
Say hi to everyone at the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Mike, love him. We love to razz him a little bit because he is one crusty old fart. Ranking the Vikings position-wise is going to be a science, but we're going to do it. Where does the superstar think the Vikings stack up when it comes to the rest of the NFL? Well, do I have some news for you? When we return, I'll break that down, and I will cover that like a blanket.
This is Zach Levine of the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're listening to Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
It's nice, you know, obviously having the whole team back in here. It's good to see Adrian back. I think it's probably the best thing for Adrian, obviously, to get back here around the guys. And just everybody can move forward and think about winning football games.
It was cool. I caught myself trying to, when they run plays, instead of blocking, I turned around to watch. And, like, I just was like, on one cut, I was like, man, he cut so fast. I told that to Harrison Smith, and Harrison just smiled. I mean, it was exciting. I mean, I've never got to meet him since I've been here because he was gone once I got here last year. And it's great to have him here.
It was great to see him back. You know, he's a guy that means a lot to this team. And so anytime you can get a guy like that back in the building that's such a game changer and see him out here working on the field, it's an awesome feeling.
That beep 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 was my big ass backing up, by the way.
Was it?
I was backing that ass
You're
up.
Backing in to get that interview. I agree. I think that when you get a guy like Adrian Peterson back on your squad, you have to feel pretty good about yourself. I mean, all the other things are taken care of, and they've been handled and rehandled and still being handled in the Eighth Circuit Court. There's still some things that need to be settled. You might even get some more money back. Regardless of that, he's done his time. I don't care for him as much as I used to, quite frankly, but I know he can run that football. If he's back there in the backfield, I feel much better.
Would you say it was blind faith just because he had that wonderful smile and he seemed to do a lot of things for children around the community, a lot of great things? He was a great running back for the Minnesota Vikings, and I know he does, but it's just kind of, obviously, when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
For me,
it's
just kind of
interesting to watch what he did.
Yeah, it pulled some of that superstardom off of him, I guess.
Stop.
Yeah, but he's still a great player. He's a star, and they just don't make him like that very often.
It's funny how listening to Tom Johnson and who else talked there?
Robinson and Chad Greenway.
It's almost like, and it's silly because he's been a part of the Minnesota Vikings, but it's almost like Brett Favre coming here, where I remember the team talking like, this is Brett Favre. This is a future Hall of Famer. This is a guy that has come in. I mean, they've had Christian Ponder or Tavares Jackson, I think, at the time. And it was just ridiculous. And you've got this future Hall of Famer coming in who really knows what to do. Last year, you had Matt Asiata, who, bless his heart, is not an every down running back, in my opinion. Jerick McKinnon, who's a rookie who played quarterback in college for,
Georgia Southern.
But was it Division II or Division III or something? Or was it Division I?
Division
Two,
Division One, Double A.
This is the real deal coming back, and already adding to a team that's being built pretty well. So I kind of want to go through and get your because you're a veteran of the NFL, 13-year veteran of the NFL, and just kind of grade how you think the whole team is as it stands right now. Obviously, you know, they always have these June 1st cuts, which don't seem to necessarily happen as much anymore. There's probably not going to be too many additions to this team. What they have now, more than likely, they'll cut down and go into the regular season with, you know, for the most part, people they have on their team right now. But let's just look forward. Let's go from front to back on offense and defense and tell me where you think they rank, the Minnesota Vikings rank, compared to the rest of the NFL.
It's a great question. I love doing this all the time. I sort of stack the Vikings up against everything in the division, in the conference, in the NFL. Position at a time, how good are we from tackle to tackle? Then you just weigh it out. You just kind of go down the list. You just up at Matt Khalil, you know, okay, well, if he's back to his normal himself and why he was drafted where he was, that's a pretty good tackle. We've seen a pretty good tackle play out there with Matt Khalil. He's got the knees done. Let's hope for the best. He put on 15 more pounds. He's about 320 now. He definitely, I thought, needed to do that. In today's game, 305 is a little light in the ass to play left tackle. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Guard. Depending on what happens, if Fusco rolls over there to left guard and he can do it, he says he can because he played it in high school and college. He played both sides of the ball. Meaning both sides of the center. I shouldn't say both sides of the ball. That means offense, defense. But I like him. Mm-hmm. I think that Fusco's one of those guys that is an up-and-coming player. It's unfortunate what happened to him last year. If he comes back and regains his old form, I like what's going on there. I like him to be the guy on the left side, too. I don't want it necessarily to be a TJ Clemmings or a David Yankee. I think it would be nice to put Fusco over at left guard and put a Clemmings, who was a right tackle, at right guard. I like that.
Just another man beast next to another man beast, Phil Lodeholt and TJ Clemmings.
Wow.
For Adrian Peterson to run behind.
And Sullivan, love him.
Yeah.
And Adrian Peterson now that we know he's back, I mean, this team is... That's kind of loaded. As long as you can keep those five up front, healthy and in place, Kyle Rudolph, Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Wallace, Jarius Wright,
Charles Johnson, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Charles Johnson and Cordarrelle would be an X factor if he turns out, if you could make him what he's capable of being. But it's like asking any other really great kickoff return or punt return artist. I mean, there are a lot of them that have come down the pike that tried to play wide receiver as well and just could not do it, including Devin Hester, just not really a true, full-blown wide receiver. He's dangerous, but he's never really been a route runner or a pattern guy, but he can do anything else. He's a great athlete in open space.
Is Cordarrelle Patterson, again, back onto the secret weapon type of list? Because, obviously, we know what happened last year. What happened in his rookie year, last year, at the beginning of last year, and then what happened throughout the year. You said guys knew who he was, so they were guarding him, the one, two guys, but the defense always had their eyes on where Cordarrelle Patterson was. Is it a possibility where he can kind of go back to that rookie's... Obviously, they're going to know who he's always been a first-round draft pick. He's always been a playmaker. He's always been this. He's always been that. But year three, coming off an extremely disappointing second season, and with North Turner trying to figure out how to use him and using him and utilizing his talents, because God knows, we all know that he's dynamic with the hands in his ball.
He is.
Or the ball in his hands, excuse me. How is that going to turn out this year?
You can only go by what Zimmer's talking about. And he's very blunt. He's very bold. He's very brash. Mike Zimmer. He's very straightforward. He's not going to just tell you something just to be telling you that. He said he likes what he's doing. He says he likes that he's mature. He sees maturity in Cordarrelle Patterson, which is part of the problem, I think, too. Outside of just not being very willing to work at his craft and not being there and studying it and figuring things out on his own, or, I think he's been more of the, wow, I had a great rookie year, so let's go play. The season's over with. Let's go run around and go horse around. I think that's what happened to him. He lost focus, and he didn't have anything to focus on to begin with. He didn't know football that well. He needed to put in a really big-time sophomore year of study to get to grasp things. But I like it when Mike Zimmer comes out and gives a report on a player, because he also is the guy that would just tell you, Cordarrelle and I had a talk. He didn't talk to me. I went and talked with him. He'll let you know what is up. And I think that that's a good sign. If he has become a better route runner, he's improved his work habits, he's matured a little bit, meaning he comes in earlier, stays later, doesn't worry so much about what's going on in the street and the scene, I think that's a good sign.
Absolutely. I love Mike Zimmer, one of my favorite coaches of all time. I mean, the history of Minnesota sports. I can't remember one or more or a couple more that I'm like, this is the guy. I mean,
he won't pull any punches.
No, Tom Kelly, I mean, right up there. I love Tom Kelly. He was pretty blunt. Yep. There's nothing fancy, no lies. What he said was serious. It may not be what you want to hear, but he's just telling you the guy's honest truth. So now that we've kind of have an overview of the offense for the Minnesota Vikings, let's go wide receivers, offensive line, tight ends, running backs, quarterback.
Stacked against the NFL or our division or conference?
Let's go with the NFL. So like 1 through 32 for the offensive line.
1 through 32 offensive line. I'm going to say we're 15. 15.
It's about average?
15. Well, because you have so many question marks.
Because of last year's injuries.
Well, injuries, will they return? Lodeholt, Fusco. Khalil had surgery on both knees this time around. And you have a new guy, Clemmings, that you hope will mix in there. Because Charlie Johnson is gone, not Charlie. The old guard is gone. So that will either be David Yankee or TJ Clemmings or Brandon Fusker.
Yep.
So 15 out of the 32, somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Okay.
Too many unknowns.
Yeah. Okay. To tight ends, I feel like a very similar kind of, we had injuries to Kyle Rudolph, a couple other guys, Brandon Bostic here from the Green Bay Packers, Chad Ford, I like him a lot,
Chase Ford. And Red Ellison,
Michael Pruitt. The Vikings drafted him.
That's a good one.
He is
a good prospect.
Quick, very fast. Ran at, what was it, a 4.5 40, I want to say.
4.5, I believe.
He's going to be a mismatch for defenses. So there are a decent amount of tight ends. How do you rank the tight ends up against the NFL?
I like Kyle Rudolph. When he's out there playing football, he's about as good as there is. I mean, he'd rank in the top 10. That being aside, Red Ellison is a really, really good blocker out of the, you know, if you use a fullback, you can use Red Ellison. So he's got some ability. We have Chase Ford comes up with good hands from time to time. You see that happen from time. Pruitt, I love him. Because of Rudolph, and hopefully if he's healthy, big question mark like the offensive line, but he puts us in the top 12. I think for tight ends, easily. If he's himself, we're in the top 10, probably about the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Because Kyle is good. He's been in the Pro Bowl once.
Very good. Was he the MVP of the Pro Bowl one year?
I think something runs in my mind that he was.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Okay, we want to go quarterback.
Well,
okay,
offense, right? You know, we're looking at a sophomore year for Teddy Bridgewater. We also know what he was able to do last year with an injured team. We also know that everything was thrown on him when Matt Castle went down, and he accepted the pressure and the learning on the job. And that's not easy to do at quarterback in the National Football League. But I think Teddy comes to the table with almost a 70% throwing accuracy. If he improves upon that, he's a top 12. He's a top 12 quarterback.
Absolutely.
In the top 12.
Yeah.
I love the kid. I'm not so sure he can't crack into the top 10 in about a year or so. That being said, we've got the wide receiving core, and we've talked about that. Charles Johnson seems to be a natural with Teddy Bridgewater. Jarius Wright, probably in the slot somewhere. Cordell, probably in the slot. Mike Wallace, that's the big talker. That's the one that we are waiting to see what's going to happen there to stretch stretch opponents' defenses.
Playmaker.
Take the top off.
Playmaker. I mean, there are a couple of guys on the Vikings offense that, theoretically, you get the ball in their hands, they can score from anywhere on the field.
Absolutely.
Mike Wallace being one of them.
Yep.
The Vikings traded a fifth-round draft pick for him, ended up cutting Greg Jennings. Would you say Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Wallace, Adrian Peterson, any point in the field? Hey, was maybe even add Jarius Wright in there. He's pretty nifty at some point.
He is. Charles Johnson.
Really?
He's slick.
He's slick.
Way better than you think he is. I mean, he came in right away and just took the job away from Cordarrelle. There was no question mark. And he became a favorite target of Teddy Bridgewater, too, by the way. He was going to him a lot. So Charles Johnson is way better than a lot of people think he is just because he showed up late. Don't look at that.
Heart, soul, work ethic, those are my favorite things about professional athlete or any athlete at all. I mean, playing sports growing up or playing sports in high school. There were guys that you could tell that had talent, but there were guys that I'll never forget that didn't necessarily have the talent or the form or the God-given ability, the speed, whatever it is, but they worked their tail off. They were always there before practice, after practice, always running, always kind of being a teacher's pet, but always working. I will take those guys over some guy who has talent up the wazoo but doesn't necessarily care every single day of the week.
I will too. Because the guy that you're talking about, the guy with the heart and the passion for the sport itself, he's probably going to be a student of the game. He's probably going to have a fairly high, in this case, a football IQ like Charles Johnson. He knows how to run a route. He knows where he's at on the football field. And he knows how to help his quarterback. There's no question he knows where to be to allow Teddy the best opportunity to see him and get the ball out to him on time. That's why he stepped right in and took off. So I like our receiving core. I think that here's one thing for sure. We are in a division of nothing but receivers.
Yeah.
And we're not the best. We're not at the top of that list.
And gunslinging quarterbacks,
too. And gunslingers. Because if Cutler ever decides to be, Jay Cutler.